I was anything other than what I am, a Black Ethiopian immigrant woman, I would be sad. I'd be jealous of me, you know? Yeah. So for me, I want that every listener to feel that way, that being African, being Black, being of the continent, being of the soil is a beautiful, powerful, dynamic thing that should be embraced and celebrated. And I hope that we contribute that through every story in some way to say there's power and worth and beauty and joy in each of us and what we bring.
Worried, anxious group of people trying to move along the line. Maybe one day we'll get up to something. Until then, we say,
I want to now talk about more about what happens behind the scenes in the live shows.
Yeah.
Because like you said, I've been to some of them and some of them are hectic. And not only the live shows, even just the episodes, right? We know how it can go from 100 to zero, zero to 100 real
both
quick.
Ways,
And you so effortlessly put on show mode.
Yeah.
Like it's the easiest thing that you've ever done in your life. We can be at a war behind the scenes, but as soon as a guest walks up, you're just like,
hello.
Hi, how are you? Oh, welcome. Da, da, da. So how do you do that? Like, what techniques do you use? You have to spill the beans. No gatekeeping today. Not gatekeeping today.
I don't know. It's definitely no gatekeeping, but let me tell you, the flip side is that my kids tell me that's very scary. They find it very disorienting that, like, because I'll do it when we have guests also, you know, like people are, I'm like, get the bathroom, get the drinks, the flowers, who did this? Someone walks in the door, I'm like, Karibu-san. You know, so my kids are always like, you're so scary. How can you go from this to this? Like hurricane to like, you know, flower. But I don't know, Joki, I will say I consume a lot of media also. So I love watching and listening to other people who do this and just learning their tricks and seeing how they do it. And I think I'm getting a little bit better of trying to figure out what works for me. Because sometimes it can feel like, oh, I'm being so fake because somebody walks in and I'm like, hello, after we've just like, you know, someone has not come or power is out or whatever. But I don't know. I do believe in like trying to learn your craft, do it well. I do try and like research and be prepared, which helps. And that's where, you know, the team again comes in because if you feel prepared for the actual content, that at least I can control. Now, if the power is not goes out, we did have an episode. I think it went out during the episode. Yeah, where you're like, what can you do? And you just hope and pray it'll come back. You know, I can control. I do the best there. I've learned to carry my water everywhere I go because a thirsty or a hungry me is not a happy me. So that's also part of the reason why it has like pumpkin bread and stuff on the set.
That is like, good
even
to
me,
know.
I need to eat.
Like
yes.
The very beautiful queen cake like, that we have here today.
Exactly. I was like, this is not just extra. This is actually necessity.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't talk necessity that I have to be able to like eat and drink and be like, feel okay.
Yeah.
The night before shows, I do try and sleep on time. Last night, I did not succeed at that, but I try.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know if there's a calling to it, but I've learned from also the team. I mean, Becky Mokia, one of our producers, also talks about having like a character Bible and knowing who you are and what values you bring to the set. And so when all else fails, if you are tired and something's going off, at least I have thought deeply about who I want to be in these shows, in these episodes, whether it's Salam and Hello, whether it's Mixed Drinks, whether it's the MasterCard show, I do go into those spaces thinking, okay, this is who I am today.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, I genuinely love it. It's weird to love talking to people, but I do. It's like a weird thing though, because who can you be in this world, a therapist or a talk show host?
You gotta
choose. You have two options.
It's hard. Like,
so,
what are we gonna pick?
So I have comfy chairs, so if in case it turns to therapy, it can. However, I'm only trained in the talking
which
part.
Which I actually feel a lot of your episodes turn into.
Of them have.
Like
for me and for them. Yes.
Yeah, for you and for them, mostly for you, but for them as well. So when I think about the impact that the stories that you've had have on your audience, it is from the messages that we see, from the comments that are made on our reels on Instagram. It's so profound, the impact that Salam and Hello has on everybody.
Thanks.
Whether it's a joy piece, whether it's a justice piece. So I think one of the things I think about, especially when I'm sitting down to do the questions, is what are questions that have been asked before and how can Salam and Hello ask the questions that have not been asked before? And I think I get that mainly just by watching how you navigate conversations. Mm-hmm. And so Has there been a moment where you've gotten a message from the audience, whether it's on Instagram, whether it's on social media, or whether it's on any of our listening platforms that has made you feel so proud of the work that you do through Salam al-Hilo and Uproot?
Yeah.
That has made you sit down and thought to yourself, I am making a difference with this podcast. And it's such a good thing that I went into this, dived in head first. What's that one or two or three or four comments that you've read that has made you feel like this is the place, this is where I belong? Yeah.
Thank you for that question. And thank you for that feedback. That does mean so much. You know, some of the comments that stay with me are the ones that have happened like off of social media. I'm going to think about social media one too, but this just happened this week. So it's top of mind.
Yeah.
But we interviewed Sajid and Amin, some of our favorite guests to have on here recently about Indigenous education.
Yeah.
And I got an email a few days later from actually a friend and a creative who used to be in Nairobi. She's now moved. I'm not sure where exactly she's based, but she's developing a play. And it's based on kind of a Afrofuturism theme, but has a lot of Indigenous knowledge themes to it.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, I just watched your interview with Sasha and Amin. Could you connect me to them? She's working with NYU, actually, New York University, on this play. And there's a reading of the play next week. She's like, I'd love for them to come to the reading virtually and then be a part of the feedback group to tell us kind of where we're missing the mark, what can we do? And I was like, this is so cool. This is like something happening somewhere else in an academic setting.
Yeah.
But, you know, our just being able to have this conversation has created, you know, a new conversation, which was really pretty amazing. Recently, I had a back and forth. We did an episode around the femicide crisis in Kenya. And we interviewed both a lawyer and an activist around kind of the legal framework and also women's experiences. And in the comments of that one of the shows, I got into a back and forth with a young man who was like, you know, I just find this really unfair. Young men are being portrayed as kind of one way. And we didn't necessarily come to a conclusion like, okay, we agreed to disagree, but we had a respectful back and forth. I was just trying to understand him a bit more. Mm-hmm. And I can be a bit sensitive too. That's the other part of being an empath. I can be super sensitive. Yeah. So if you're like, oh, you look better in blue than green, I'm like, you're not my friend. No, I like cut you off just like that. So I was like, okay, remove the sensitivity, just try and hear what he's saying.
Yeah.
And for me, the value in that was that we had the conversation that, you know, another young Black African man was getting to say his piece.
Yeah.
My point was we need to center women's voices. I'm not going to apologize for putting their stories first. Because he was like, you're showing men, all men to be perpetrators, all meant to be bad. I'm like, no, our intention was to center women intentionally at this moment in time. It's really important.
Yeah.
But we did, he stayed with the conversation. We had some back and forth, and I thought that was valuable. And you know, anytime my kids send me a note or a comment and say, I really liked this episode, that means the world to me because they know how hectic I am. So when they can see past all of that and then just see, oh, this was valuable to me, that means the world to me.
Yeah, that is so sweet. Yeah. Take us through your creative block process.
Mm.
You've been a creative for a very long time.
Yeah.
And every now and then, creatives have creative blocks, some worse than others.
Yes.
But all the same, I believe that creative blocks are there because maybe the mind is tired and you've been at it and, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally.
Yes.
And sometimes the body just needs you to take a break and slow down and then recompose yourself and come back. So how do you navigate through creative blocks?
It's a great question because it's a very real thing, especially when you have the entrepreneurship piece.
Yeah.
Someone said this recently to me about their podcast, and it's true for me too, that they didn't realize they were starting a business when they started the podcast. And I also didn't realize. So when you're trying to be creative and then also build an infrastructure that can support your creativity, sometimes those two things are not a happy marriage. You know, they're not even a happy family because you have to use different parts of your brain. You have to behave in a different way. And even if you love something and want to do it, you know, finances may not be there, whatever. So I found that building the business did cause quite a creative block for me for a time because I was tired. You're exactly right. It's just fatigue, pure, simple fatigue, mental fatigue. My husband always tells me, he's like, oh, this is what's going to keep you young, though. You don't need to do, what is it, Sudoku?
Sudoku,
yeah. He's like, don't worry about Sudoku. You're building
a
business.
I love Sudoku.
Well, his point is like, you're learning something new constantly. Your brain constantly, is constantly being challenged. He's like, so don't, just keep doing that. I'm like, but it's killing me.
Softly.
Yeah. Not even softly. Hardly. With a machete.
With a machete.
Actually, a panga. I mean, it's rough out there on those entrepreneurship streets.
mean, you're so funny.
You're so real. I laugh to keep from crying, you know. But, you know, two things really fuel me. One is other creatives.
Yeah.
So anyone in my friend groups knows I'm the one who's like, let's go to this play. Let's go to this show. Let's go listen to this music. Let's go dancing. I'm like, being around other creative energy fuels me all the time. Some people, it's like a quiet walk or like silence, meditation. Me, I'm like noise. Put me in a noisy place and I will, my juices will start bubbling. And then the other thing really is, again, our team. You know, there have been so many times where I'm very cognizant that I'm not Kenyan, even though I love this country. Mm-hmm. I've lived here a while. So there are times where I'm just like, hey, guys, does this resonate for Nairobians or for Kenyans? Or what do you think about this? And so just our bouncing off of each other and the creative energy between yourself, Rahmat, Becky, Tamya, you know, that really helps me to bring clarity of either a hard yes or a hard no, sometimes to get through the block, you know. Yeah. Or recently we did this whole Case for Hope series. And I don't think we knew really what it would be at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But what it did was it gave us a framework for some topics, but also it gave us an idea that in the future we want to keep, maybe we should do more series. Maybe this makes sense as a creative mechanism also. But really those blocks are really serious. And that's part of the reason why we're going to take a little break now too, is because I feel like I need to go back to reading a bit more and scheduling more time for rest, reflection, creativity. Even like, I love to write poetry. I like I'm not good at painting, but I like to do it. I want to learn crochet. I used to crochet and I have dropped it. So I'm like, I feel like I need to do more of those type of things because they also stimulate the brand, you know?
Yes, they do. Yeah. And they also, the new skills you're learning, skills you're polishing.
Indeed.
You never know where they may go. Yeah. Maybe salam and knit.
You never know. Well, that's another thing we do. We started a textile company, my cousin and I. I'm calling it Salam at Home right now. I don't know if that name will stick. But that's been a hard but good creative endeavor as well.
Yeah.
Different part of the brain. But yeah, so we're trying to stay not killing, but living.
Yeah,
living softly.
Yes, living softly in this world.
Live softly.
We only got 5 seconds, girl.
In this world. I'm so bad with lyrics. You guys know this about me. I'm so bad with lyrics.
I'll help you there. So what has been one of the most unexpected what has been one of the most unexpected things you've been taught by a guest?
Good one. I also want to hear what you think about that.
Ooh la la.
Well, I mean, definitely one of the ones was when we did the Gen Z episode.
Yeah.
Yes. With some people that are in this room right now.
They're behind the cameras.
Yes, some behind the cameras. We had 4 guests, I think, for that show.
Yeah.
And it was, we titled it, I loved the title, Gen Z Has Entered the Chat. But it was just like our effort to understand these guys, this generation. And we've been saying we're going to do a part 2 with women because that was all men.
Yeah.
So we have to make good on that. But that was really surprising. I think their insights into life and the future was really surprising.
Yeah.
I was surprised. Like one guest said, when I said, what do you want to be in the future? He was like, I want to be a father. I just didn't expect that.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
But another guest was also like, if life works out, sawa. If life doesn't work out, also sawa.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, really? So like pretty much everything they said was a surprise. Every single thing, I did not expect it. And we talked for a very long time I think I just continued to be like wowed by like their thought process and very thoughtful also. Wasn't flippant at all. And they taught me a lot. And I really felt for this generation. Actually, we got a listener wrote me an email, like a full email about that episode. Did I tell you guys this? I don't know if I told you this. Just being like, I feel so responsible. I feel like we have failed this generation. Like I listened to their stories and he's like, I'm so moved by their honesty, their transparency, their vulnerability. Yeah. And he's like, what have we done for them? Have we done anything? Like it was really a moving email. I'll send it to you guys. I'm looking at you, Rick, because you were... Ernest, I think you opted out, but you were on set that day anyways. You heard the conversation.
Yeah.
I'll send it to you because I was really moved by that and just made me think that maybe we need to do better cross-generationally, like connecting outside of parent to child, but like, you know, just in other places. But yeah.
And it's so funny that you mentioned that specific episode because when I joined Salam and Hello, I had never heard about Salam and Hello before.
Yeah.
And I remember my first month, I was talking to a friend and I'm like, I started working for a podcast, da, 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 da. And she was like, oh, there's this episode of a podcast I want you to listen to. Lo and behold,
really?
It was Salam and Hello, and it was the Gen Z episode. That was the episode she wanted me to listen to. So it's so funny that you mentioned so that. Cool. That was my first introduction to like the podcasting world outside of work. Cool. And I was so jazzed. I was like, how did you know to pull this?
That's a sign.
I think I even wrote it on the group. I was like, guys, my friend just, I think I wrote it to Rahma, our producer. I was just like, my friend just, literally, I even took a screenshot. I was like, this is a calling that on my part as
it
well.
It really was. Yeah, it absolutely is. But I'm curious for you too. Has there been any episode that for you was like,
I watched taught you something special? Yeah, I watched back some of your episodes. Mm-hmm. I loved your reaction. There's an episode that you did with Julie mm-hmm. about sex toys.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
That episode, I was just like, oh, no.
Even now, the thought alone.
I know. I was just like, oh, no, hide my ears. Yeah, yeah. Hide my ears. But I thought that was a very interesting conversation. Yeah. It's a sort of conversation I was just like, mm-hmm. what more? So, you know, especially now that I've grown, I have my own kids, I live away from my parents, and I'm just like, what are all the secrets that they did not tell us, you know?
Exactly.
Lily is just like,
No, we need to do that. I have thought about having a whole podcast just about what your mama didn't tell you.
Yeah.
I'm calling it that.
Honestly.
Things your mother never told you, because I'm like, there's too much, actually.
I could contribute 100 because there's a lot they do not tell you. So I want to talk about more about the community building aspect of Salam and Hello and Uproot, because it was just a transition. Yes. And I know a lot of people followed your Uproot and then saw the transition from Uproot into Salam and Hello, and I did as well. How has it been building that community and creating a sense of belonging amongst your listeners and viewers now that we have YouTube, follow our YouTube, subscribe. How has it been building that community? How are you able to build such a sense of belonging? Because I feel like reading the comments from every episode that we do, that we post online, and even just hearing the stories that you tell us, because there is someone who recognized you in the airport just recently, right? How does it feel being on the receiving end of all this positivity, all this criticism also?
I mean, it's encouraging, I think, because the whole point is to have a conversation. If I'm just talking into the abyss of life and the world and media and social media and all the noise, it's like, why? I actually think the community building is something I'd like to do more of and better of. I have struggled with that because our listeners are, a lot of them are in the diaspora, so they're not in Nairobi.
Yeah.
We may never meet them. We likely will never meet them.
Maybe we will. But maybe. I'm coming to you soon.
Let it be. there's the sense of kind of like, who am I talking to? We've done listener surveys. We track our data, and our demographics are still, I think, 70-ish% women, but there's a strong 30-ish% men. Mm-hmm. There's 26%, I think, in Kenya, but then the rest is really pretty a wide scatter.
Yeah.
So I do want to continue to build more community. The live shows help us do that, because we meet people. Recently at the Africa Media Festival, we were amongst many, many media creatives, which was wonderful, vibrant conversations happening.
Yeah.
And then we had a live show there with John Sibio Kumu, which was just beautiful. And he's such a generous, creative soul. And I got to meet a lot of people there who listened to the show. And that was amazing. I'm always like, when people are like, oh, I listen, I'm like, you do?
I feel like crying.
I'm like, I seriously do blush, guys. Like, I turned like a really gorgeous chestnut brown, you know, like I really go there. I mean, it's just a surprise to me. And we have a couple of listeners who are pretty diligent, who will write to me and be like, oh, this really episode really resonated with me. It really reminded me of this episode.
Yeah.
So just hearing that it makes me very grateful, because we're not always an easy listen, in the sense that you might be pushed when you listen to us. You might be challenged. Yeah. Your worldview might be challenged. We might ask you to consider a question or a community that you haven't encountered before. There's a lot of justice in there. And justice is one of those words I've even sat with myself, like, does this resonate with people or fall to other people like it does with me? You know, like, what does it mean to other people? And then we have the joy piece, because I believe Africa is a joyful, beautiful, fantastic place to live where everything is possible. So anyways, I guess all that to say that I'm encouraged by it deeply. I'm grateful. I think we're doing something special and different and unique, and I hope we can keep going. And that really will be our community that helps us do that. Yeah. People have sent us ideas. They've sent us people we should interview. And a lot of those have materialized. And that's been amazing to see.
Oh, that is so fantastic, Lily. Yeah. And as you approach your 100th episode of Salam and Hello, what are your deepest hopes and dreams for the future of Salam and Hello?
Other than interviewing Trevor Noah.
Hi Trevor.
Kosa, we want to speak to you in Kosa or in any other language you choose.
We will come to you.
Yes, we'll make it happen, my friend. My deepest hopes for Salam and Hello is actually I would love for it to be a home for many creative pursuits. I would love to have a Salam and Hello like festival. Oh, I would love to have Salam and Hello lives in different African cities. So taking this to Addis Ababa, taking it to Kampala, taking it to Dar es Salaam, taking it to Cairo. I mean, taking it to Washington, D.C., Kenny Ethiopian diaspora, like having those. I'd also love to have like travel and cultural experiences. Yeah. Rahma told me this story early on about the tea sellers, correct me if I'm wrong, in Mombasa. Yeah. And I've been sitting with that story since she told it to me, like, can we not go and do these? Like, we want to do like short films, like take an episode and build on the story so it becomes a short film. Yeah. You know, I'd love to have, you know, 3-day kind of cultural festivals where we invite other thinkers and innovators and learners and doers to gather together. I'd love to plan travel trips where people take a Salam journey and we go for 4 days and we, you know, explore Aksum or Lalibela, or we go to, you know, Mount Kenya and whatever. You know, like I would love to build on this joy and justice, the service piece. We had really planned a joy gala for December 2023 where we would have featured, invite of all of our guests from the show, invite our community, invite the public, and then have a fundraiser for one of the causes that we had represented on the show.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we didn't get enough sponsorship to make that financially feasible, but that's still a dream that I have, that we would have a joy gala and it would be a premier event, you know, like the Met Gala, but better.
Yes.
Where it has a purpose and it contributes to the communities that we care about.
Yeah, and it's gonna happen. Speak it unto the universe and the universe will do. Yes. We'll receive it. Yes. I want to touch at the Rahma is just showing me here that time's about to run out. Can you imagine? So let me ask you something as we wrap up.
By the way, you see how scary she is.
Also, sitting at the back. And so she's just like waving minutes at me. Like
She doesn't smile when she does the minutes. She's like,
no. I've tried to make her laugh this whole time. I'm even looking at her with my like giggly eyes. Gangster. She's not laughing at all. So circling back to one of the things that she said at the beginning of this conversation. And it's about starting this at 40 and listening to what you've just told us about what you plan for the future of Salam and Hello and all the events and the dreams and aspirations that you have for the event, I mean for Salam and Hello.
Sure.
Do you feel that even if maybe when you were starting you felt that that your age was limiting, but now as you're growing and now that you've gotten even sponsorships, that you could revisit some of those proposals that you've done and maybe re-inject them?
That's a good idea. You know, many years ago, I think it was 10 years ago. So before I was podcasting, I did an event here in Nairobi called An Ethiopian Experience, which was basically like a mini Salam and Hello. It was a 1 day. I brought Ethiopian vendors from Addis Ababa. We had an Ethiopian film. We had Ethiopian food. And it was kind of like, come experience Ethiopia for a day.
Yeah.
It was really beautiful. It did really well. I sold tickets. I got sponsors, blah, blah, blah. It was great. So I think it's in my DNA. I don't know if being older helps or not, but maybe I have the wisdom now to focus a bit more and just say that makes sense. Let's wait on that. I feel like even as a team, maybe I hope you've noticed that like even a year ago, I'd have all these ideas and really want to make them work. But now when we're like, let's wait on that, I'm more likely to be like, okay, you're right.
Definitely. Yeah,
I'm doing a little bit better, right, guys?
Yep.
I'm like, okay, we can, instead of having 17 people on the panel, let's do one person and that's it. It doesn't have to be live. I don't have an outfit change, you know, so I'm trying to do a better job of listening so that I make better decisions. Because ego gets in the way, life gets in the way, and I think age brings wisdom. So I think I'm grateful for that. And I hope I can honor that as I continue to age.
Yeah, gracefully. Like as fine wine.
As I can.
Fine wine. And I must say, in the 1 year that I've known you, you have grown a lot.
Like
I have the Lily who I met and the Lily who is sitting in front of me today, two different people. I'm so like glad the to hear growth. That. Yeah, the growth. I have seen
How
it.
How have I grown? Just tell me one thing because it's so helpful to hear. Honestly.
Let me start by the amount of ideas that you want executed.
Let me start by my workload.
Whoa! No, it's not the workload. The ideas are brilliant. Yeah. But like you said, sometimes when you have many ideas, when we put everything in one pot,
yeah.
it doesn't taste the best. Doesn't matter how much seasoning
metaphor.
You put, right?
I get that metaphor. It's clear to me. Yes, because I cook, so that's a very clear metaphor.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how much seasoning mm-hmm. you put. If yes. you put too much,
yes. it too will. Much cardamom will kill the tea.
Oh my
it
God.
It will kill your chai.
Kapsa.
Yes, yes.
So completely.
100%.
So I think in that regard, you have grown, and even just consulting ideas that you have to see which one, what is possible to do now? What are the lowest hanging fruits, and what can we grow in? What can we do in 6 months that you know this is that we can build on from this idea that we have today? And in that way, you have grown.
Thank
so I must commend you for that and say Thank that you. We're proud of you, even as a team. That is growth that we've seen, and we're so proud of to be part of it.
Thank
and
you.
You know, we're here for you.
That means a lot. I would not be here without you.
Oh,
so true.
Oh, that is so sweet. And as we wrap up, because Rahma is just waving papers in my face.
You don't need to stay, but I'm leaving.
I know. I have one question for you. Okay. And it is, when you reflect on your career now, what do you believe your most significant contribution will be in the future? How do you, and that's question number one. Sorry, question number 1A.
1A. Okay.
1A. How do you want, or how do you hope to be remembered by your audience when they sit down and they look back at Salam and Hello in a few years? What would you want us to remember about Lily?
Well, for sure, my greatest contribution will be my children, period, because that's four of them and there's one of me. So if I have done anything well in this life,
I love that.
It will be seen through my children.
I love that. Mini moguls in training.
Let it be. You know, you've said a lot of things. And me, my job is to receive in this thing. So every time you say something, I'm like, yes, Lord, yes. So anything good, I really, they are my greatest contribution. And it's no pressure on them. But I just think if I've invested anywhere, all my best energy and time and it's them. But in terms of work, I think my greatest contribution maybe is bringing the marriage of joy and justice to the fore. I think podcasting is a landscape full of people talking about themselves. It's not a bad thing. It's what people are interested in. People want to know, how do you do your makeup? They want to know, how did you make those cupcakes? They want to know about you. So there's a lot of space for that in podcasting, and a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of space in podcasting to advocate and say, you need to get on board, and you need to know this, and Africa that, and current events this. I think my greatest achievement or contribution has been trying to marry the both, to say there's so much joy. And justice is joy, and joy is justice. There's joy in justice, as our friend Sajida has said.
Yeah.
And that we in the continent need to drive our own stories, present the face that we want to present to the world, be honest, be real, be, you know, present in our lived circumstances. But my goodness, there's nowhere else I'd want to be, live. I would know if I was anything other than what I am, a Black Ethiopian immigrant woman, I would be sad. I'd be jealous of me, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, I want that every listener to feel that way, that being African, being Black, being of the continent, being of this soil is a beautiful, powerful, dynamic thing that should be embraced and celebrated. And I hope that we contribute that through every story in some way to say there's power and worth and beauty and joy in each of us and what we bring. And the 1B was my greatest, how do I want to be remembered?
Remembered,
Well, I hope my Kenyan friends will remember me as a good guest in your country, that I have loved Kenya well and I've served Kenya well, I hope, because it's a privilege to have immigrated to my second country now and be an immigrant again and to be received here. So I hope Kenyan creatives, it really matters to me what they feel.
Yeah.
They don't feel like I'm appropriating their culture or taking up space that's not mine to take.
Yeah.
So I would hope deeply that there's that sense. And I hope I really believe in people don't remember what you do, but they remember how you made them feel.
Yes.
So I hope people will have felt loved. I mean, it sounds a bit cliche, but I think it goes to your earlier question around, you know, when people are here for conversations and how we navigate it and the space we create, that at the end of the day, that intention is truly out of love, a love for our people, a love for our culture, a love for this place. that overwhelms me at all times. I'm overwhelmed by the love of this place. And I hope that is what I'm remembered by.
Oh, that is so beautiful, Lily. Oh, that is so beautiful.
Thank you for giving me a chance to talk about it.
Anytime. And thank you so much for joining us today. It's such a pleasure to have you here. But thank you so much for coming today. And thank you so much for your answers. They've been genuine. They've been so heartfelt. And we are just so happy that we've even gotten the opportunity to have you sit as a guest on your own show.
I'm glad this chair is comfortable. But I have to say, you are very good. And I'm actually scared now because I can see how I can be replaced. And I'm waiting for the Jokey show.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And you know our tradition. Two last questions for you.
Okay.
All right. What is your favorite drink?
My favorite drink is the problem with me is I can never have one favorite of anything, but I love Prosecco.
I love me some Prosecco.
I love some Prosecco with some, what is that thing? Saint-Germain's?
Oh.
Saint-Germain. My sister got me on this elderflower liqueur. Uh-huh. But in the non-alcoholic beverage place, I love water.
I love that we have two options.
With lemon and mint.
Like, they're so extreme.
Yes, I need flavored water in my life, and I love a Prosecco.
Oh, nice. Yes. And what is bringing you joy today?
What's bringing me joy? My daughter is arriving tonight, and all four of my children will be in my home, which is becoming, unfortunately, more and more rare as they grow up and move out. So all my babies. Like, look at these cupcakes. Doesn't this place look nice? This is how my heart feels. It's a full plate of cupcakes when my babies are all home. So that's bringing me joy today. Unfortunately, my husband is traveling, but at least have my four babies.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And enjoy your children while they're here before they leave the nest.
Yeah, thank you for reminding me.
And to our listeners out there, please don't forget to like, subscribe, share, and give us a rating. 5 stars, preferably. We hope you've enjoyed this conversation and have a beautiful, beautiful day from wherever you are. See you when you see you, and see you next season.
Next season.
Bye.
Bye. Maybe one day we'll get up to something. Until then, we say, hold up. I know it's hard, but baby, you just got to hold on.